Thank you, David.
Open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 9. Had a great time in Mexico. Fun preaching with your own son. And we preached in a park in Zacatecas. We had, on Saturday night, probably 30 believers, adults. And on Sunday morning, that same park, we probably had 60 to 80 adults in the meeting. And then we went to Aguascalientes, which is the home church of this mission that we were at Zacatecas. And we averaged over 100 adults in every meeting all through the week. And sometimes 130 to 150 adults. That's about the number of the chairs that they could fit into the building where they were. So it was a great time. Had an enjoyable time there. So Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. You got to watch out and be sure you don't get Brian started. I used to ride around, we'd be visiting, riding around the car, and he'd call Judy, "Oh, you precious thing, Betcha." I mean, he'd have me groaning. I said, "Oh, come on, Brian, please, help me out here, please, you know." You got to watch out, don't get him, don't turn him loose. It's sickening. I'm glad you're here today. I got a message for you today. Amen. Hebrews 9:27. "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you that we have your word. I thank you, Lord, for the freedom we enjoy that we take for granted. God, you just have blessed us. I give you thanks. I give you thanks for answers to prayer on so many other things that we've prayed and your protection over us. We continue to pray for our boys and that are going over into Iraq and Iran and in danger and harm's way. We pray, God, that your will would be done in their life, that your protection would be over them. And Lord, I pray for this meeting today. You know every heart and life that's here. I ask you, Lord, to suit the word to the needs of each heart. And especially if there be a lost soul in the sound of my voice, that, Lord, they would come to know you as Savior and Lord before it's too late. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I had some plane changes each way in Houston. I was flying Continental. And always tickles me. They started out trying to have a plane overbooked going into Mexico. And it wasn't my flight, so I wasn't worried about it, but it was overbooked anyway. And they were starting out with, you know, $300 offer. Then they went to $400. Before they got through, they were up to $500 if you'd give up your ticket and take another flight, because they were overbooked. You know why they were overbooked? Because people don't keep appointments. On an average, on a regular basis, people don't keep appointments. So they have to overbook so they don't be so they're not flying airplanes that are half loaded. And I got to thinking about Verlene and I, we were on first name basis with a number of doctors at the present time, medical men. And one of her doctor's nurses made a statement to her, said, "You know," said, "don't be late. This doctor is on time." Now, he's got to be very unusual. Yeah. I carry books with me when I go visit my doctors. I don't depend upon their magazines. I carry books. They said, "But if you're 1 minute late, he bypasses you, and you pay for the thing. You better be there early because he's going to be in there." And he's a very expensive doctor, one of these neurologists. He's trying to find out if she has a brain. I'm talking to you today about an appointment you're going to keep. I got an appointment right here you're going to keep. You may think you can get out of it just like you do a lot of other things. You think you can bypass this and get by mom and daddy and get by the policeman downtown and bypass the judge and get around the principal or the school teacher, and you think you don't have to keep your appointments. Here's an appointment you're going to keep. It's appointed unto men once to die. You're going to die. And bless your heart, you can't get out of it. Now, you can jog every day, 5 miles a day. You can swim a mile every morning. You can eat nothing but greens and vegetables and lettuce and all that rabbit food. You're still going to die just like me. You may not be as fat as I am. You may not have my problems, but that's all right. You're going to die too. You got an appointment to keep. An appointment with death. Now, there's several things said about it in the Bible. Solomon was a very smart man. Turn back to the book of Ecclesiastes. A couple of verses I'd like to read out of Ecclesiastes. Here's a man that God said was one of the smartest men that ever going to live. And he wrote down a lot of things for us. And after reading what he says, I say, this old boy knew a whole lot. Pretty smart fellow. Chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes, verses 1 and 2. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to be born and a time to die. You know, there are a few times in my life I like history, and there's certain portions of history I like better than other portions. And so you think, well, I would love to have lived at such and such a time, you know, but I couldn't have lived any other time. There was a time for me to be born, and the genes that make me up were not suited until 1936. You couldn't be born another time. You couldn't have lived another time. You wouldn't have been you. If your mother hadn't married your daddy or they hadn't gotten together, you'd never been around. There was a time to be born, and bless your heart, there's a time to die. And notice what he says about it in chapter 8, Ecclesiastes. He's talking about death there again. There is no man. This is chapter 8, verse 8. Ecclesiastes 8:8. There is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit. I've been by a lot of deathbeds in my life. I've been there praying with them. I've been there when they did not want to die. They cried out to live. I want to live. I do want to die. The frustration upon their face. This is not what I planned. This is not what I wanted. This is not my purpose. I want to live. But they didn't live. They didn't live. You know what he says here? Solomon, 3,000 years ago, said, there is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit. Neither hath he power in the day of his death, and there is no discharge in that war. You're going to die. You have an appointment with death. One of my favorite stories is 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22. It's about Jehoshaphat and Ahab. Two kings. Jehoshaphat is king of Judah. Ahab is king of Israel. Ahab is one big, tough, mean old man. He was a tough king. Give him credit for having guts. The man had guts. A lot of the devil's people have guts. I'd have to give him credit for that. There's a whole lot of them that are, they're not maybe too smart, but they are brave in lots of ways, you know. They don't know what's coming, but at any rate, Ahab and Jehoshaphat got together. They hadn't had any war in a long time. And they had a big party and a big feast. They had their two crowns sitting out there in the gate of Samaria. And Ahab said to Jehoshaphat, we're brothers. I got this Ramoth Gilead, this town up here, it really belongs to me. But somebody else, Sirius, got it. And why don't you go to war with me? Let's go together and let's go take that back from me. And Jehoshaphat says, well, why don't we have a camp meeting? Let's gather all the prophets you can get. Let's see what the Lord has to say about it. Ahab said, sure, gather the prophets. He gathered about 400 preachers. You imagine what's said when 400 preachers get in one building? I've been there a few times. It gets wild. I mean, boy, the prophets begin to preach. And he said, what do you think, prophets? Is it all right for me? What's the Lord going to do if we can go up there and take Ramoth-Gilead from those Syrians that took it away from us? And the prophets begin to preach. Yeah, go up, man. The Lord's with you. Go up. Oh, you're going to be blessed. It's going to be in your hand. The Lord said, go on up. And prophet after prophet after prophet preached. But old Jehoshaphat, he might have been a little weak-brained, but at least he knew the real Bible when he heard it.
Amen.
He was a fundamentalist. Jehoshaphat was a pretty good man. He said, "Do you have one of those old-fashioned prophets that uses the King James Bible?"
Amen.
"I'd like to know if you got one of those old guys, maybe a premillennial fundamentalist, one of those fire eaters. Do you have anybody like that in the country?" "Yeah, I got one. His name's Micaiah, but I don't like him because he always preaches bad about me. He always preaches bad. He don't ever have anything good to say about me."
Amen.
Joseph had said, "But you know, before we go to war, I would really like to hear what this man has to say." So the king called Micaiah, and the messenger they sent out to old Micaiah said, "Look, we got the whole crowd together. The ecumenical movement is in agreement. We don't have a discordant note in the whole meeting. Would you please preach what the rest of them are preaching?" Well, he walked up there, and the king says, "We're thinking about going to Ramoth-Gilead. Everybody here's in agreement. What do you say?" He said, "Go up and prosper. The Lord be with you. Be blessed." And Ahab said, "How many times I tell you, you got to tell me the truth. Don't you lie to me." He said, "Okay." He said in verse 17, "I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace." And he turns to Joseph and says, "What did I tell you? That guy, every time he preaches, he's coming after me." So he said, "I tell you what, we're going to go, but you take Micaiah and you put him in the prison and feed him with bread and water of affliction and trouble. Give him a hard time in the prison until I return." Micaiah said, "If you return at all in peace, the Lord didn't speak by me." Hear it, everybody. Hear it. If he comes back, I'm no prophet. He'd called every one of those 400 preachers liars. And oh boy, they didn't like that. Everybody said, "Here's one man standing on the Word of God. And all these religious people saying something else." Ahab says, "I'll tell you what, we'll fool God. I love this. I love this. I love it when somebody thinks they're going to fool God. Who do you think you are? You really think you can sit back in here and hide somewhere and God doesn't know you're here? You actually think this God that we serve is so ignorant that you can get in the crowd and get lost?" Well, Ahab thought so. So Ahab dressed up like a soldier in a chariot. And Jehoshaphat, the big dummy, dressed up in his kingly robes and rode out in his kingly robes like he's the king. And the king of Syria told all of his captains, "Don't fight with the little guys. Go after the king. I want Ahab. I want Ahab. You go after..." The whole war is nothing but going after Ahab. So Jehoshaphat rides out there in his beautiful robes, and everybody can tell this is the king. And so they run after him, and he said, "Not me, not me." Now Ahab never would have done that. That's pretty sure. And when they saw Jehoshaphat, they said, "I'm not Ahab." They said, "That's not Ahab." And one of those archers, he said, "Well, shoot." He drew a bow at a venture. He just said, "I might as well shoot somebody." And Ahab sitting there watching Jehoshaphat run, said, I got him. I fooled God. He thought I was going to die today. Boom. And the arrow hit him right in between the harness. And he fell down. "I'm hit and I'm hurt." And by the time they got the chariot back to Samaria, Ahab's dead. You know why? Because several years before, God had prophesied just exactly how it was going to happen. And God sent a lying spirit into these 400 prophets to convince Ahab he could fool God. But I don't know who you are this morning. I don't know your name. I don't know your life. I don't know your background. I remember sitting in the back of a church with about 400 or 500 people. And I didn't know how God could reach me back there. I thought I was hidden very well. But there's no discharge in this war. You're going to die. You have an appointment. You're going to die. That's what it says right here. And Ahab died. And the dogs licked the blood from his chariot in Samaria, just like the prophet had said. Now you've got another appointment. It's an appointment with God. Look at the book of Revelation, chapter 1. I'm also interested in the bravado, the machismo, the toughness of the Hell's Angels of our day. Walk around sporting their Harley Davidson jacket or t-shirt and saying, yeah, when I meet the old man up there, I'm going to tell him what I think. When I get up there, man, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. You ever heard any stupid people talking like that? Oh, I've known a few. Listen to what John says. Here's a picture of what your God looks like. Here's a picture of what your God looks like. Look at it in chapter 1 of Revelation, beginning at verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire, his feet like unto fine brass, if they burned in a furnace. His voice as a sound of many waters. And he had in his hand, right hand, seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance as a sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And you will too. You will too. You're going to be so shut mouth when you stand in the presence of this one right here. You got all sorts of excuses. I've knocked on doors. I've sat in people's living rooms and kitchen tables and talked to people about eternity and meeting God and needing to be saved. And they give me all sorts of excuses why they can't get saved, don't want to get saved, why they want to live their life, why they want to be their own man, why they don't want somebody else to pay their debt. They're going to talk to the old man when they get there. No, you won't. You're going to be so frightened, you're going to be frightened completely out of your skin. Tell you what, our Bible says something about this God also in Hebrews. Look in the book of Hebrews. Very interesting verse in chapter 12, verse 29. My wife is almost a pyromaniac. She just loves to start fires. Man, I'm telling you, all we do is get a cloud in July and she puts a fire in the fireplace. Just a cloud comes over the house. She goes out there and just drags trees. She drags trees up and burns them one after another. Man, they're burning out there. The fire department has to come all the time. You know what it says in Hebrews 12:29? For our God is a consuming fire. You ever seen a fire? A real fire? When I was clearing our land to build a house and the barn and all the other things on that 13 acres, it really was not cleared land. You could not walk where the house is. You could not walk there. I crawled to find out where I wanted my house. Over brush and stuff down there. Man, we piled some things up high with front loader, great big front loader. Pile things up high. Set it on fire. It burned for days. But the fire was so hot, you get real close to it, man, it burns you. It just sends the hair right off of you. Some big, big fires. You know what our God is? Our God is a consuming fire. How long do you think you're going to last if they shot you to the moon? From there, you took off and headed for the sun. How long do you think you're going to last in the burning of that sun? Our God is a consuming fire, the Bible tells me. I mean, his eyes are as a flame of fire. Nothing lasts around him. You remember reading about the judgment of Christians? You know what lasts? Something that can withstand fire. That's all. Nothing else lasts. Tell you another verse it has in the book of Hebrews. The 10th chapter, in verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Our God is not some little idol that you put on the dashboard of your car. Our God is not some little piece of pewter that you hang around your neck on a cross and put it everywhere. No, our God is not some cross sitting on the top of a steeple. Our God is not some little thing you can decorate the front of your yard with. Our God is a consuming fire, and it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And I want you to understand today, you have an appointment with this God. That's who you have an appointment with. You're going to meet Him. You have an appointment with judgment. Look at Revelation 20. You have an appointment with death, you have an appointment with God, and you have another appointment you're going to keep, and it's with judgment. Now here's the judgment, beginning at verse 11, Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. If the earth and the heaven cannot stand the presence of His face, what are you going to do? Do you remember when you were called up to face the principal one day and you knew you were guilty? How scared you were? Do you remember when they took a board and busted your bottom, tried to break the board on you? You didn't want to see those guys again. Do you remember when you just didn't have anything but just a parking ticket or a speeding ticket and you had to meet the justice of the peace? That's not the governor. That's not the Supreme Court. That's not the President of the United States. That's not some dictator. We're talking about an appointment with a judge of the whole earth. The earth and the heaven flee away at the presence of His face. You will too. You're going to be struck dumb at this judgment seat. He says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You have a judgment. You have an appointment you will keep with the judge of all the earth. And He will judge you. You know, you may have told your mom and daddy when you were a kid half-truths to get out of things. You may have blamed it on your brother or your sister. You may have blamed it on your friends that you went around with. You may have blamed it on your own ignorance and stupidity. You may have made all sorts of excuses. None of them work here. None of them. I don't know what you told your wife or your husband or you told your mom and daddy or you told your kids, but none of them work here. They don't work. This is the judge of all the earth. He's got all the books. He doesn't miss a thing. My Bible says, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Idle words? How about all your cuss words? How about all your outright lies? How about all the time you're slandering somebody or putting somebody down? How about all the things you've done to hurt other people? How about your wicked selfishness? How about your lust? If every idle word's going to stand there, my friend, you don't stand a chance. You have an appointment with death. You have an appointment with God. And you have an appointment with judgment. And nobody stands in this judgment. But I want to tell you something today. Today you have an appointment with destiny. Today is your appointment with destiny. Today you can change your future. I got the promise of it. I'm glad I have this book. I'm glad I live in this land. I don't know what you think. You may think that this has all been given to you and it's your right and everybody in the world's always had it. Few people in the world have it today. And most people that have ever lived in the world never even dreamed of the freedom you enjoy. That's just a gift. And the only way we keep this freedom is we fight for it. And our young men are going to pay the price with their blood to keep you free. And the minute you quit sending young men out to keep us in our freedom, you're going to lose it. I hate for my grandchildren to be fighting this war. I really do. But I'd rather they'd fight it there than fight it here. And I'm thankful for their bravery, and I'm thankful for their pride. And I back them all the way, and I get upset at some people and the way they think. I've been a free man all my life. I am so thankful for the freedom that we have. It costs something to have this freedom. Yeah, you're free today. You were free to come to this service this morning. You were invited by somebody, or you've been brought by somebody. Or maybe you just wandered in on your own. I don't know. But you were free to come today, and you came. Well, my Bible tells me that today, where two or three are gathered together in His name, have you noticed what name's on the outside of this building? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We gather in His name.
Right.
Years ago, I was a Baptist preacher for 14 years. I love the Baptists. They're great people. I love them. Baptist and Jesus just aren't spelled the same.
Right.
So I know they must be different. I met in Jesus' name because of the promises in this book. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Let me tell you something, my friend. Jesus Christ is here.
Amen.
And that means you have an opportunity today to change your destiny. 46 years ago, I changed my destiny. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I was headed for hell. According to what this Bible says, I was headed for hell. My sins had condemned me already. My will had condemned me. My lust had condemned me. My anger had condemned me. I was condemned. But you know, the beautiful thing is, the gospel was preached to me. I'd heard it all my life. I was raised up in it. I knew the right words. I even knew what to say. But raised up in that gospel, I also knew I didn't have it. I was lost and on the road to hell. And if I'd have died that night, I'd have split hell wide open. But oh, there was an invitation given. An invitation says, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Sinner, repent of your sins. Call on the name of the Lord. He'll have mercy and forgive. If you'll break your heart, if you'll confess your sins, if you'll say, I don't want to live this way anymore. I want God's forgiveness. I want God's mercy. The promise was God would hear a repentant sinner. That's what I remember. I got down on my knees. And I began to confess my sins. And I began to ask God to save me a sinner. And He did it. My destiny was changed on the first day of September, 1957. Today could be your day. Today could be your day. This is your hour. You honestly have the opportunity to choose your destiny this morning because of the promises of God. Now, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Some of you heard that invitation before. You've listened to the gospel. You've heard a preacher give you an invitation. You've heard the promises of God. You know what He could do. And you sat right there, glued to your chair, refusing to surrender to God. Refusing to ask for mercy. Refusing to take eternal life. Go ahead. You can walk on the way you're walking. You can keep doing just what you're doing. But remember, you have an appointment with death. Some people die at 30. Some at 17. Some at 12. Some of them at 92. Yeah, 87. But there's no discharge in that war. You don't get out from it. You don't live long enough to miss it. You don't make a decision that comes along and says, okay, you're not going to die anymore. We're going to freeze this and freeze that. And no problem. No, 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 my friend. You have an appointment with death. And I don't know how far it's going to be. You have an appointment with God. And I don't know when that'll take place. And you have an appointment with judgment. I'm not sure about that, but I know that's what's going to happen to you. But today you have another appointment. You have another opportunity. You came in here today, and you have an opportunity to repent of your sins and ask God to have mercy upon you. Why don't you do that today? Man or woman, boy or girl, I don't care how old you are, how young you are, if you're not right with God and you know it, get on your knees and ask God to forgive you and have mercy upon you and to save your poor lost soul.
Amen.
We're going to sing number 249. Let's stand.